Divine intelligence is the highest standard for intelligence. We do not overlook the academic and high technological achievements in our society to enhance our physical lives in all aspects. However, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ challenged the meteorologists of his era. They disappointed him. Their mere aspiration was to enhance their skills for their personal material advantage. It was time for them to have faith in him. He desires for us to have a personal spiritual knowledge of him in all eras. They were in the presence of the living Messiah. They were naive, and did not understand that Jesus Christ was the living Messiah that the prophets had prophesied. The meteorologists did not understand the specificity of the extraordinary time for them and their generation. Jesus passed that way to save them. However, repentance will always be the basic standard for humanity's salvation. Jesus Christ challenged them in a spiritual manner. St. Matthew 16:2-3. When it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? They were busy learning the scientific knowledge about the weather. Therefore, they overlooked the most important aspect of their lives, to know Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord desired for them to know him. Jesus Christ prayed in his intercessory prayer, St. John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. To know Jesus is divine intelligence beyond the human mind. They did not desire divine intelligence. They pretended to know the teachings of God. Their mere aspiration was to make a dynamic demonstration of their academic knowledge about the weather. Apostle Paul said to the Roman Christians, Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Their human intellectual training did not help them in the end, because without repentance, hypocrites will not receive salvation. They were merely concerned about their careers and their monetary achievements. They believed that their skills were the ultimate achievement for them. However, without repentance they were lost. The grandeur and excellency that humanity receives from universities and other intellectual training, none of them will prepare you to go to be with the Lord in heaven, which is the hereafter. There is no glory in human knowledge. Although you may reach the highest level of intellectual training, none of that intellectual training will prepare you for the world to come. St. Matthew 25:34, Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We cannot go to heaven until we experience the connection and redemption by the Holy Spirit of life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We must have the divine knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as a result of redeeming our souls from all sins. Jeremiah knew the Lord. He was profound about divine intelligence beyond the human mind. Jeremiah was profound and articulated the Word of God. He disclosed the dynamics of God's words concerning the profound knowledge of God. Jeremiah 9:23-24, Thus saith the Lord, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness, in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. God emphatically told Moses that he had filled Bezalel with his Holy Spirit for the work he had chosen him to do. Although Bezalel's work was literal, he was a symbol of a powerful anointed minister with great authority. Exodus 31:2-5, See, I have called by name Bezalel the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. The cutting of stones was a metaphor of cutting away sin from the heart of believers. Ezekiel 36:26, A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Jesus gave divine intelligence to those who have faith in him and obey his words. Spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding are the highest level of intelligence. We who are true pastors, are spiritual thinkers, and are the greatest thinkers of all times because of our spiritual connection with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord gives us prophetic messages about the future to lead and guide his people. Jeremiah had a dual ministry of prophet and pastor. He did not hesitate to fulfill his pastoral obligation. Jeremiah 17:16, "As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, that which came out of my lips was right before thee." The wise preacher, King Solomon, was profound, Proverbs 10:21, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." God revealed to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 3:15, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." We who are pastors are prophetic messengers of God in Christ in all eras. St. Mark 1:1, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Verses 14-15. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye, and believe the gospel." Jesus Christ confounded the Pharisees because they demanded him to show them the literal kingdom of God. They could not observe the spiritual kingdom of God because of unbelief. Apostle Paul disclosed in the New Testament to the Roman Christians, Romans 1:20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." When we observe the natural creation in which we live in, we understand that only God and Christ could have created these dynamics. Jesus answered the Pharisees and illustrated his spiritual kingdom in the hearts of his disciples. St. Luke 17:20-21, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, or, Lo there, for, behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Jesus established his spiritual kingdom in the hearts of his 11 disciples because Judas was an unbeliever and betrayed the Lord for money, and hung himself, and died in infamy. St. John 6:70, "Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Devils do not repent and believe the gospel." The 11 disciples were faithful believers of the ministry of Jesus Christ. However, those Pharisees did not repent nor believe. As a result, they could not understand the mystery of the kingdom of God because they were religious serpents, and blind to God's spiritual knowledge and truth in which Jesus taught. Jesus declared, St. Matthew 23:33, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Verse 24, "Ye blind guides." The only way to escape the damnation of hell is to know and obey the words of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. In the book of Job, Bildad the Shuhite also illustrated a powerful metaphor of the characteristics of a hypocrite. Job 8:13-15, "So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand, he shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure." People who forget God are like the meteorologists. They are not concerned about spiritual knowledge. There is no spiritual security in mere academics alone. Jesus protects our souls from destruction when we seek for divine intelligence beyond the human mind to protect us. Divine intelligence comes as a result of obedience to the Word of God. Jesus revealed to John, Revelation 5:2-4, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book, and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. In the spiritual university of God, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ taught John in the Isle of Patmos, how to spiritually read the mysteries. John declared, Revelation 1:10-11, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and, what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. In John's era, there was no human spiritually prepared or worthy to read the divine language. Isaiah prophesied, Isaiah 29:11, the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned educated, saying, Read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. At that time, none of the sophisticated learned people could read the mystery of divine intelligence. God does not reveal his mysteries to unbelievers who are enemies to him and his people. He reveals the mystery of his word only to his chosen people. God hides his mysteries because he does not desire for the enemies of the church to know and understand his secrets, in which he reveals to dedicated believers of all times. God gives basic knowledge of scriptures for repentance for humanity's salvation. Paul was emphatic to his spiritual son, Timothy. 1 Timothy 3:16, And without controversy great is the mystery of godliness, God Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Amos proclaimed, Amos 3:7, Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. God sealed his mystery under spiritual symbols and codes in his words. Elihu was emphatic, Job 37:5, God thundereth marvelously with his voice, great things doth he, which we cannot comprehend. The human mind is dangerous. It cannot understand the mystery of Jesus Christ without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ revealed to John in the New Testament, Revelation 10:4, And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. In the book of Revelation, John was the contemporary prophet, like Daniel in his era, who read and interpreted the mystery of God's handwriting on the wall. God challenged him to read his prophetic message. He cried, prayed, and asked the Lord for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The human mind had not learned God's spiritual language. Because of his spiritual hunger and thirst for righteousness, God answered his prayer. In a vision, he saw an elder. God revealed the mysteries to the elders. Revelation 5:5, And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is a descendant of the tribe of Judah. The Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ prevailed to open the book, and gave him understanding to the mystery of God's divine language. God gave his Holy Spirit to those who evolved onto the highest spiritual level. God proclaimed to the psalmist, Psalm 91:14, Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him, I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He gives that divine honor to those whom he has chosen. The word of God cannot confound us. We will no longer sin like those who disobeyed and are spiritually unlearned. Paul declared in the New Testament, Philippians 2:5, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. John accepted the truth. He was no longer naive concerning the mystery. God will not hide the truth from overcomers, who are spiritually mature. They can read, sing, and articulate the word of God with spiritual wisdom and power. Jesus declared to his disciples, St. Luke 21:15, For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Jesus continued, St. John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus' truth will make you free from the guilt and condemnation of sin. St. John 14:9, "Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Shew us the Father?" In the Old Testament era, the psalmist recognized divine intelligence in the law, and that the divine law was the truth. Psalm 119:142, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth." Jesus explicitly said, St. Matthew 5:27-28, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Under the law, they were guilty if they literally had sexual relationship with a married woman. In the New Testament, Jesus interpreted the law in its full context. "You have sinned when you lusted after a woman or man in your heart, because the Lord looks on the heart, motives, intentions, and desires. When you look at pornography of women, desiring sex, you have sinned, although you never had sex with them." Jesus proclaimed to John, Revelation 21:7, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." The spiritual inheritance of the kingdom of God is ours. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples and believers of all times. St. Mark 4:11-12, "And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see, and not perceive, and hearing they may hear, and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them." St. Luke 12:32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He did not say, "Fear not, megachurch. The masses of people shall be lost. God will save a few in each generation." St. Luke 13:23, "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved?" Jesus replied to his disciples, St. Matthew 7:14, "Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Verse 13, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." The broad way is the way of the world in which sinners desire the pleasure of sin. Large numbers of sinners are inconsequential when Jesus comes back for his true church. God saved only 8 righteous people from the flood on earth. Genesis 7:13-16, "In the selfsame day entered Noah, and Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the 3 wives of his sons with them, into the ark, they, and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, 2 and 2 of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. There were no homosexuals among them. All males married females. The creeping things, beasts, and fowls of the air, came into the ark male and female. Obviously, they were more sensitive to destruction than the masses of humanity who were lost. Paul warned the Roman Christians in the New Testament era. 2 Corinthians 4:3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Paul wrote, Romans 9:27, "A remnant shall be saved." Peter declared, 1 Peter 4:18, "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" God destroyed unbelievers in Noah's time. He promised to destroy the world of ungodly sinners who would not repent. Revelation 20:14-15, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The book of life is a divine record, which God records the names of the redeemed of all eras. Malachi 3:16, Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. God, the creator of the universe, has an infinite memory. Unbelievers, who do not believe in God, they do not believe that he created hell. However, they should observe active volcanoes, which are a symbol of hell, when they spew fire and lava, overwhelming everything in its path. That scripture speaks of the whole earth becoming a literal lake of fire and brimstone, which is everlasting hell. Jesus doomed masses of sinners to go to hell. St. Luke 17:26-30, And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came, and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Jesus was prophetic, St. Matthew 25:41. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus revealed to John the song that the redeemed sung, Revelation 14:3, and they sung as it were a new song, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. The 144,000 symbolize the remnant who repented of all times. In spite of his extreme suffering, John had power to sing and praise God in the Isle of Patmos. They cast him on the Isle of Patmos because he was a Christian who had the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:9, I John, who also am your brother, and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. The enemies of John desired to destroy him. They assumed that he was dead because they cast him in imminent danger. However, the Lord was with him, and lifted him up into a spiritual realm. He was spiritually in heavenly places. Paul said, Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. John wrote, Revelation 4:1, After this I looked, and, behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. That is when John entered into the spiritual university of God, to write the word of God, and to learn the mystery in which only the Spirit of God could teach. He also sang God's praises and was able to write the word of God in the holy language. God gave the mystery to the children of the kingdom. That was the song of the redeemed when God delivered them out of Egypt from Pharaoh's bondage and his hard taskmasters. Exodus 15:1, Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The spiritual metaphor for victory is singing. Wherefore, the unregenerate cannot learn that song because the Lord did not redeem them. The believers were praising God for the victory over the bondage and sin they experienced in Egypt. The psalmist proclaimed and sung the song of the redeemed of all eras. Psalm 107:2, Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Those whom God redeemed continuously sing the song of victory. John emphasized the New Testament song of victory, Revelation 15:3, and they sing the song of Moses the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. The children of Israel sung that song after their departure from Egypt. Peter was an individual whom God blessed with divine intelligence beyond the human mind. St. Matthew 16:13-18, When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, He asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I the Son of Man am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some, Elias, and others, Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjana, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus emphatically disclosed to Peter, and his disciples, that the correct knowledge that Peter had, concerning that Jesus was the Son of God, did not come from humanity's academic training, it came from divine intelligence beyond the human mind. Flesh and blood are human beings. The revelation of Jesus Christ did not come from Peter's human mind. The Holy Spirit of God revealed to Peter that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. That was the truth. The revelation of Jesus Christ was a blessing to Peter and the disciples. Paul was clear, 1 Corinthians 10:4, that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The Holy Spirit revealed to Peter that Jesus Christ was God manifested in a human body. Jesus profoundly said, St. John 4:24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Peter was absolutely correct. He made no mistake about the identity of Jesus Christ when others were making mistakes about who he was, stipulating the names of other prophets. Peter is an extraordinary example for believers to whom the Holy Spirit revealed divine intelligence beyond the human mind. God promised this honor to believers who have a clean heart and humble spirit like Jesus Christ, and are willing for the Holy Spirit to teach them the truth, which is the highest level of divine intelligence. The psalmist declared, Psalm 91:14, "Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him, I will set him on high, because he hath known my name." Psalm 69:29, "But I am poor and sorrowful, let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high." Jesus built the true Christian church on the truth, which is redemption, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of him, also, to know him in the spiritual aspect of life, which consists of the mystery of his holy language, which is divine wisdom and knowledge. Apostle Paul was emphatic, Romans 1:20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." We can observe the natural creation in which the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, created, who are the Godhead. Jesus' miracles truly displayed that he was not just a human being, he was God manifested in human flesh, so, all humans are without excuse. The New Testament scripture disclosed, Hebrews 6:5, "And have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come." When we are born again, we experience the dynamics of the Word of God. That is a metaphor and spiritual language of tasting the Word of God. As a result, we have our spiritual portion of wisdom and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul proclaimed, Philippians 3:21, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." In the process of regeneration, the Lord will change our human mind and nature into his divine nature, and we will begin to think and live like him. Our spiritual image overcomes our physical image. Our natural life is short and limited. Our spiritual life is everlasting in the world to come. Peter said, 2 Peter 1:4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." John wrote, 1 Epistle of John 3:2, "When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Paul declared, 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Without the Holy Spirit, academic intelligence is empty and void concerning spiritual things. Those with formal training have the ability to perform in a skillful manner exclusively in natural things. Only divine intelligence gives us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to live appropriately to please Jesus. Therefore, He gives us the divine interpretation of His holy language. He reveals His holy language to those who wholly dedicate themselves to Him. Paul emphasized, Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Those whom God has not saved have natural minds and do not obey the truth. A spiritual mind comes as a result of the spiritual birth. Jesus challenged Nicodemus to evolve spiritually. St. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus' disciples observed spiritual things as they evolved spiritually in the kingdom of God. They knew Jesus in his physical and spiritual image, but the prophets of old did not see him. They merely had a prophetic message about him. Jesus said, St. Matthew 13:16-17, But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. When we are born naturally, we are born after the flesh. When we are born again, we are born with the Holy Spirit within us. Jesus declared to Nicodemus, St. John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Paul wrote, Galatians 4:29, But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. The scribes and Pharisees were scholars in the Ten Commandments of the Law of Moses. They did not desire to understand the spiritual language in which Jesus spoke the Word of God. They did not have any discernment of the spiritual wisdom and knowledge of God. His disciples believed that God authorized Jesus, to whom he called the Father, because he taught with power and wisdom. However, Jesus knew that the Jewish leaders desired to kill him because of his miracles and teachings. St. John 2:19-21, Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. That was a powerful metaphor. They did not understand the spiritual language in which he emphasized to them concerning his resurrection from the dead. Apostle Paul told the true Christians, 1 Corinthians 6:19, What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? That reminds them that the Holy Spirit in the true Christian is the power of Jesus Christ that gives life to the believer. Paul continues, Colossians 3:1, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Jesus gives us power to understand the holy language of his word, which he speaks to us in a mystery. Jesus had the power of life, death, and hell under his authority. Jesus spoke to John after his resurrection in Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth, and was dead, and, behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus declared prior to his death, St. John 10:17-18, I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. He did it for us, his obedient children in all times. True Christians, who have the Holy Spirit, are the manifested body of Jesus Christ on earth. Apostle Paul proclaimed divine titles. 1 Corinthians 12:28, And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Verse 27, Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. The Lord gave 9 gifts of the Spirit to the true Christian church to authorize them with His spiritual power for the upbuilding of His spiritual kingdom on earth. God gives spiritual gifts to His chosen and elect people in all eras. Paul reiterated to Christians, 1 Corinthians 12:1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Verses 8-10, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." Ephesians 4:11-13, "And he gave some, apostles, and some, prophets, and some, evangelists, and some, pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Paul was emphatic about his spiritual knowledge. He was an apostle and pastor who had all the gifts of the Spirit. It did not come from academics taught by humans. Galatians 1:12, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." When our gifts come to perfection, we symbolize the spiritual body of Jesus Christ living in us. The psalmist prayed that God's Holy Spirit would teach him divine intelligence, because he wanted to obey God. Psalm 143:10, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God, thy spirit is good, lead me into the land of uprightness." Deborah was a prophetess to whom God gave a dual position of prophetess and judge. She symbolizes great women of faith who are spiritual leaders with divine wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Judges 4:4, "And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time." Verse 5, "And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment." Deborah looked through the telescope of time and prophesied to Barak the future victory of Israel over King Jabin's army with uncanny accuracy. King Jabin had mightily oppressed the people of God for 20 years until God ordained Deborah. Peter proclaimed the prophetic message of Joel in the New Testament era. Acts 2:17-18, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." Often, we observe naive ministers, who are like babes, standing upon rostrums wearing diapers and nursing milk. They cannot differentiate between good and evil. That powerful analogy depicts many immature ministers who condemn female ministers. Nicodemus was an example of naive ministers. He was blatantly naive concerning the spiritual birth. He was a ruler and master teacher of Judaism. However, he did not have any spiritual knowledge about being born of the Spirit. He was on milk. St. John 3:4, "Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb, and be born?" Jesus rebuked him. Verse 10, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things?" He did not have divine intelligence and skill with the word of God to feed spiritual people with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He was void of understanding of the Old Testament. Therefore, he could not understand the spiritual interpretation of the word of God, which Jesus taught. The Hebrew writer was emphatic, Hebrews 5:13-14, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Paul proclaimed, 1 Corinthians 3:1, "I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Babies cannot differentiate between good and evil. Sinners, who were unbelievers, did not understand the miraculous spiritual feeding in which Jesus initiated in his ministry. God did not ordain them to be a part of his ministry. Therefore, he made them sit down literally and spiritually. The disciples were helpers to share food with the people. It was an experience for them to learn about spiritual feeding as they obeyed the Lord. St. John 6:10, and Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." After Jesus fed them, he sent them away. Obviously, Jesus will never send away those who spiritually hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jesus articulated, St. Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." St. Matthew 13:36, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." Jesus was emphatic and clear, verse 38, "The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one." The masses of people are the children of the wicked one, who are the children of the devil. They do not desire to hear about the laws and rules of God. He sent the multitude away because they did not want to learn about the spiritual life in which he taught his disciples. Their ultimate desire was to eat naturally, and not spiritually, and to live their lives in the manner of sin in which they desired. He continued, verse 40, "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world." Verse 42, "And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Verse 51, "Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things?" They say unto him, "Yea, Lord." Jesus said, St. John 13:17, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." Jesus declared, St. John 6:27, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life." Jesus understands the human aspect. However, he desires for us to work willingly for him in the spiritual aspect of life, because our time here is extraordinarily short. He emphasized spiritual labor in the Word of God, and righteousness. There is a time and season in which we should accept the principal example of obedience in which his disciples regarded his words. Paul said, Romans 6:22, "But now being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life." Isaiah inquired, Isaiah 28:9, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine, them that are weaned from the milk, and drawn from the breasts?" Elihu asked Job if there was a teacher who can teach like God. Elihu knew that divine intelligence was beyond the human mind. That is why he asked Job, Job 36:22, "Behold, God exalteth by his power, who teach hate like him?" St. Matthew 18:2, "And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them." Jesus taught his disciples humility by a little child who obeyed him. All of us who are believers have the same spirit of humility. Jesus continued, verses 3-4. "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Humility is one of the great spiritual virtues. The 11 disciples were examples for all humanity who desire to learn and obey the truth, which Jesus taught. Judas betrayed the Lord and killed himself for money. Jesus dined with his disciples after his resurrection. He was emphatic to Peter, St. John 21:15-16, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep." Sheep and lambs are symbols of the people of God because they will humble themselves and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, St. John 10:27, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 5, And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Isaiah declared, Isaiah 40:11, He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, he shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. He did not ask Peter to feed pigs, dogs, foxes, serpents, and all other beasts, which are a metaphor of unregenerate children of the devil. Judas never learned the spiritual language because he was a devil. Devils do not learn the divine language because they do not repent. Jesus emphatically said, St. John 6:70-71. Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. The evil spirit of the devil deceived Judas, because he was a devil. In the end, Jesus' truth will win, and give the children of God power against death, hell, and destruction. We shall live forever with him in eternity. Conclusion, John was emphatic, 1 Epistle of John 5:4 For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. God has promised eternal life to the regenerated families of all times. 1 Epistle of John 2:25 And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life.